I'm Daryl, a compulsive overeater. And, we call it the sex inventory. It's really more of a relationship inventory. It doesn't require a romantic relationship. I have had situations that involved me and my dad, for example, and with my brother, with my mom a lot of these things. And it's any relationship really where you have the any level of interaction or closeness. So a lot of family relationships would fall into this category, and you'll see as we go through the questions that the form that I like to use is one that mirrors the questions that the reading tonight asks us. And so as we do you have that form, Sandy? I think the easiest thing is for me to kind of go through it and explain it. Yep, that's it. Okay, so at the top left hand corner of the screen is the relationship that we're going to be talking about, and we put the person's name in that little box right there, and I like to do just like the other sheets. I like to do a sheet for each person, not try to lump them all together. And it's really, I think it's really important to be able to look at each relationship individually and not kind of mix it with the other ones. You'll see enough similarities in the way that that we handle relationships, usually, not always, but usually. Okay, so so we've got the name up there, but the book tells us has one basic question. Is this selfish or not? Was this relationship selfish or not? And that becomes a key question because relationships involve us, and it's real easy for us to get into the selfish mode and to kind of retreat into that, justifying our own position and criticizing the other person's position. Looking at, I think in the book someplace it talks about how we judged ourselves by our intentions, but we judged others by their behavior. And I think that part of the challenge that we have as far as like growing up and becoming more mature in our relationships is to be able to take a step back and to see ourselves in a I think what the therapists call the observing ego, where you're actually looking at yourself as though you're looking at a play unfolding instead of being caught up in the emotion, just being able to see our own behavior in the process and in the here and now. And so that becomes something that it becomes very easy to become selfish and self-centered when it comes to and actually narcissistic in a lot of ways. I think that when we have the observing ego, we can actually ask ourselves, am I being narcissistic? Because nowadays it's almost a buzzword, and it's real easy to identify the narcissist around us, but very seldom do we see that quality in ourselves when we're exhibiting it. And so that becomes important. But so we're basically going to ask, is this relationship selfish or not? And we're going to find out a lot about whether it is or not by the next column, where it asks, where have I been selfish? And And that could look in a lot of different ways. It could be somebody that has an attitude of being entitled, being better than, and comparing ourselves. So always coming out on the top end in any type of a relationship dispute, maybe reliving it in our minds over and over again. Should have said this, and I think Ali calls that ruminating, and looking at at our own behavior in this. And it was just me just looking out for myself in this relationship, and not caring about the other person. So then the next the heading that we have is dishonest. Have I lied, cheated, stole money? Have I stole friends, friendships? Have I stolen things from this person? So that be there's this level of dishonesty that we have to look at. And to just find out whether or not we've done anything physically as far as dishonest, as far as like being outwardly dishonest, stealing, cheating, and that sort of thing. And then, of course, the other part of the cheating is if we're cheating on a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend, and secretly meeting somebody else or having a second relationship without telling the first person that's what's going on. That can be a form of dishonesty as well. And so we and actually in that particular area, when I came into the program, I was in just that type of a relationship. It was not a relationship that was meant to really make my marriage any stronger, let's just put it that way. And I remember that when I first told my sponsor about what was going on, that she had me read the section that we read tonight, and she had me read it every day. I guess only for about a month. And the more I read it, the more that I really saw that part where it talks about shaping our ideals and where we're going to go from here, and then looking at the motives and seeing the importance of my motives in the in any relationship. Why am I there? Am I there to be beneficial to the other person, or am I there to get all I can get out of the relationship? And so that becomes something that I really have to look at. But that reading is very that we had tonight is very non-judgmental. It doesn't say you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, or this is wrong or this was wrong. It says that it doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want to be the arbiter of anybody's sexual conduct, and that's not the job of the program. We need to look at whether it's a selfish or not, or if it's dishonest or not. Those are the key criteria that we have to focus on. And the next little segment down is inconsiderate. Where have I been inconsiderate? No place else does it ask this question with the other inventory. With the resentment inventory, doesn't ask a question, but here it does, because it has a lot to do with relationships. Being inconsiderate, it's real easy to do that and be overly righteous and feel like, oh, I'm right, and I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to make sure that the other person recognizes this. And there was some research that was done on marriages a while back. And the guy that had it up the research, I got to hear him speak, and he said that they had videotaped thousands of interactions of people who were arguing, married couples that were arguing, and that, and he said that everybody always thinks that they've got the answer, that this is the one that's going to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. And he said, I have never seen one couple where one of the persons says, oh my gosh, you're so right. I don't know why I never saw that. And it just doesn't happen. And so the big book talks about how a lot of times that our relationships that the it says I think the winner only the victor only seemed to win. That's the phrase out of the big book, and I think that that's very very true in relationship squabbles and arguments, and the inconsideration is really important because this program teaches us that we're supposed to be considerate, we're supposed to be kind, and we're supposed to be there for the other person in the relationship rather than just in there for ourselves. And we're taught through the steps and through the just the unfolding of the practices, principles in all our affairs, that becomes very important, is being able to demonstrate that love and tolerance is truly our code, because that's what the book says, that love and tolerance are our code, and so we need to strive for that. I know that in my own life that I had come from a divorce early. My wife left, and in my first couple of years of being in the program, and my first wife left me, and eventually filed for divorce, and we went through the divorce process and all of that, and I think that and so we had five children from our first marriage, and from that marriage, yeah, I have two children from my second marriage, and it was very interesting about, I guess, maybe 5 years after being divorced and just interacting with my ex-wife on when we were together for the whole family, Christmas, Easter, things like that, where the whole family got together. She got to see me working the program, and she and herself was a 12-stepper, so she was working the program. And about maybe 5 or 6 years after we had been divorced and I'd been remarried, and I already was starting to have children in my second marriage, that she said to me something like, "You're a good man." And I never thought I would hear her say those words, and it began it earmarked a change in the relationship where, when the solution for a lack of trust, when trust has been damaged in a relationship, that the solution to it, or the healing of that, is faithfulness over time. You can't, there's no shortcuts back to rebuilding trust. And so it took 6 years of doing the right thing before it finally started really making a difference in that relationship from her perspective. And I know the same thing happened with my dad, that I had done I've shared this before, but I had wanted to hear my dad just say, "I love you," one time. He had never, I could never remember him saying that. And as I got into recovery, I started to realize that. And I said, "Darn, you know." And so there was finally a time when he and I were having an interaction, and I said to him, "Dad, I love you." And he was totally silent. And then finally he said, "I know you do." And so he couldn't say the words, "I love you." And so I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, that's the best he can do. And he doesn't have the capacity of saying that for whatever reason. I don't have to try to figure that out. But I just decided that was the reality of the situation. But then the second part of it is that just because he can't be the dad in that ideal relationship that I have in my head doesn't mean that I can't be the son in that relationship. And so I decided to just go that way. And that was and I just started to be a more loving son, and going out of my way to do things in a more loving way, in a more caring way. And the relationship made a real positive turn. And when he passed away, I went to see him in the hospital the day before he died. And he reached up and he pulled my and put his arm around my neck and pulled my face down next to his, and he told me that he loved me. And you know, by that time, I didn't need to hear that. I looked at that as a gift from God, that this is a faithful God, and he didn't have to give me that. Our relationship was complete. My dad's relationship and mine was complete because of this program, and not because that I learned some secret in a book someplace. Now, this was because of just working the steps on a daily basis in our program, and that just takes one person to change, and you can change a relationship by just keep staying with the program, and just knowing that God's in charge, and that keeping our motives right is very, very important. So the next segment is who did I hurt? Nine times out of ten, the person's going to say I hurt myself, and that's going to be true. But it shouldn't be the first consideration; it should be the last consideration, because this is a relation. This is asking us who outside of this relationship. Who in this relationship did I hurt? Because this is an important thing. If we're going to try to make the relationship be a more complete relationship, then we're going to have to be able to own our part in it, and we're going to have to hold ourselves to the standard of making an amends if we've hurt somebody. In other words, we can't just shrug it off and just say, "Well, I just won't do that anymore." That's nice. You're not supposed to do it anymore, because that's what the meaning of amends is. But by the same token, it's just as important to be able to right those things, not only in the current relationship. Because we've learned something in the process. If I were to make amends to my first family, my five kids, or my wife from my first marriage, and I were to make an amends to them for being distant and not being close to them, not paying attention, and then I go in my second family and I do the same thing, that well, the amends is not it doesn't really impress too many people if I'm doing the same thing in a second relationship. And so it's almost like God gives us a second chance. And so we get to approach it differently now that we've learned something about what we've our style of being in a relationship, the shortcomings of our style of being in a relationship. And as we start to see these things and learn these things from working the steps and working through the inventory, we're working towards the character defects and working towards the amends. All of that stuff is in the future. But as we're doing that, as we're getting to that that place, should be changing ourselves and the way we are with other people. We had a lady that came to program for many, many years, eventually passed away, and abstinently too, by the way. And she was really a nice lady, and she had been a school teacher. And she always sat in the same place at the meetings that I went to, and she came to a lot of the meetings. And she had shared one time that she'd been here a lot of years, and she noticed that the people that work the steps, that work the program, that they became kinder over a period of time. And once she said it, I knew it was true, because I started reflecting myself. That the harshness that I had about me had softened over time, and the other people that I had met in program, who continued in program, they too softened over time. And this program and these steps just has a way about rounding off those corners. The ragged edges and the sharp edges that we have, and to make ourselves and our relationships and our lives more complete, and a really good way too. And so who did I hurt? Yes, we hurt ourselves, but we're looking at the other person. How have we hurt them? What do we have to do to make it right? And what do we have to do on our other relationships to make sure we don't do it again, and not treat other people that way? You know, one of the things that I never thought that I would be able to do this, but I found myself at times doing almost like a mental spot check inventory in the middle of an argument, and I'm trying to pursue my point of view and trying to convince somebody, and all of a sudden I realize what I'm doing, and I'm able to say, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh. I need to back down a little bit. Or I might say something like, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. And not saying you're right, but maybe you're right. But that maybe that's the best I can do. But I can back away from, instead of having the situation intensify, I can kind of take the steam out of it by just being able to take a step back from whatever it is that we're talking about. And so this next section, how did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness? This is really a big one. And you know, it talked about motives in the reading today. And when it says unjustifiably arouse, well, when is it justifiable to arouse jealousy, bitterness, and suspicion? I don't think that it ever is. I kind of changed that word for justifiably to intentionally. When did I intentionally arouse jealousy? If I'm trying to make somebody else jealous, maybe bragging about something that I have that they don't have, maybe bragging about my kids and how great they are, and how wonderful they are in football, like, or whatever. But it that I'm but my intention is to make you feel less than, and just feel when you compare your life to mine that you come out second best. And I have to say that I have done that, not recently, but I have done that. And I know people, other people have done it to me too. And so this idea of arousing jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. Okay, so jealousy can be kids, but it could be also if I'm married and but yet I'm a flirtatious guy and I'm embarrassing my wife by flirting with other women in her presence or outside of her presence, either way. That's not that's not conducive to a good relationship. That's me doing something that's causing her to be jealous, and maybe it's causing her to be suspicious too. Maybe she's thinking, "Wow, well, maybe where there's smoke, there's fire." So what is going on here?
Five more minutes.
Okay, thank you. And then the bitterness is gonna come from just the thought that that is what's going on, that that I'm working towards an affair or something like that. And so all of those things are things that are poison to any relationship. And so it's our job to make sure that that doesn't happen. So some of the and then it says at the bottom of that column, we got this all down on paper and we looked at it. And well, what I found out is when I got it all down on paper and I looked at it, now I look back to that column at the beginning of this. Was this a selfish relationship or not? I can tell if I read this column honestly whether it was a selfish relationship or not, because if I'm on the negative side of the answers in this on this column, I am in a selfish relationship, and I need to change that. And then the next column is where was I at fault? What should I have done instead? For me, that was something that what I should have done instead, I'd learned that from this program. I did not know what I should have done instead. I did what I thought all guys did, and I was wrong. And so I got to learn because through this program what that right ideal is that that the paragraphs that we read today talked about, and that God is going to be able to show us that. And the we ask God, I'll read that little size, it's pretty tiny print. We ask God to mold our ideals and to help us live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly nor selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. And just knowing that this is something that's going to be a positive part of our life, our relationships, not something that's like a weight that's hanging around our neck. Now, this is something that's going to be positive. The positive side of the relationships is once we start getting there, we can start showing appreciation. We can start looking for the good. I really would recommend that everybody read the story on acceptance in I think our edition now it's Acceptance is the Answer. I think that's the chapter that where the acceptance reading comes from. But the entire chapter is about relationships and working and how to do relationships and program. And I think it would be anybody that's interested in looking at their relationship from a little bit different point of view, maybe it would be a real good exercise to do that reading. But he talks about how if we concentrate on the positive things that our spouse does or our kids do, and instead of looking for the negative things, judging people by their best behavior instead of their worst behavior. Because I had a tendency to do that. Boy, you got on in my doghouse. You're not getting out very easy because I'm going to keep you there. But the truth is that I need to look at the positive side of the relationships that I'm involved in, and look for ways to show appreciation and to be helpful. And I really and I admire I not only admire, I really look at the 11-step prayer that we find in the 12 and 12. I know we're going through the big book this time, and I think I'll close this part of the presentation with that. The 11-step prayer, the prayer of Saint Francis. Let me just read that, because if you take this prayer and you apply it to any relationship you're in, it's going to make it a heck of a lot better. I call this a sponsor's prayer, and I call it a therapist prayer, and you'll see why. Here it is. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to be comfort rather than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is in self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And so that prayer mirrors the goal of the relationships that we seek and program, and the quality of relationships that we seek and program. Thank you.